This is RN Breakfast. Well, we've been talking a lot about changes this morning since Labor won the federal election. How's the party's leader, Anthony Albanese, handled his first 6 months in power? How has our politics changed, if it has at all? Catherine Murphy is the political editor of The Guardian, regular commentator on Breakfast. She's written a quarterly essay on the Prime Minister and his leadership. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
I think maybe it's helpful just to zoom out a little bit with in terms of what you've done with this essay. You've looked more broadly than at just Anthony Albanese. It's also about the way our politics as a whole has shifted, or whether it has, as a result of this election. What's your assessment in the end?
Well, it's sort of a big canvas, as you say, Hamish. I mean, if I could start with first principles, I wrote the quarterly essay really to try and understand who Australia's new Prime Minister is, how he operates, but more importantly, why he operates the way he does. And that involves some unpicking of biography and childhood and adolescence and his history in the Labor Party as an insurgent and a lone wolf. And the sort of arc of the piece, I guess, is the Prime Minister learning, well, transiting, I guess, from being a lone wolf to being a leader, because they are two different qualities. I also, as you've suggested, wanted to hop inside the electoral realignment that happened in May, because it was a very substantial electoral realignment. And we've seen echoes of that again in the Victorian election. I mean, not to the same extent as May, but we've seen, you know, in my mind, the two election results are actually quite similar. So I have a look, I guess, at the progressive parliament that Australians delivered and the prospects of achieving progressive reform in that parliament. But also, I guess, the piece ends with a sort of question about whether the realignment is permanent, because if there's one thing I'm very clear about with Anthony Albanese, it's having been given, or having been elected Prime Minister of Australia, he's not wanting to preside over the death of the major party system. He is wanting to re-establish a mandate for the ramparts of Australian democratic life and make a new case for collaborative leadership using the old model. So we cover a lot of ground in 35,000 words.
But for all of that talk, which I think you observe correctly, of more collaborative, collegiate process in Parliament, you have all of these independents there that want to work with, you know, major parties, that want to speak amicably about ways to improve policy. You do reach, in any term of Parliament, points where decisions have to be made. Not everyone will be happy, as, you know, David Pocock was articulating to us this morning, with whatever decision is made. And ultimately, individuals or parties or groupings are held responsible. And that's sort of where you end up back at the sort of politics we always have.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. The essay does sort of, you know, I have a conversation with myself out loud about what the new politics actually is, and the various manifestations of new politics that we see around the world, which is basically disruptor politics. But you're right, Hamish. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we've established a system of representative democracy. We may periodically, as Australians, return different protagonists into that system, but ultimately the sort of same laws of gravity apply. It's, you know, obviously reforms are passed. As you say, not everybody can be happy all the time. Not everybody can sort of sit and, you know, hug one another. Obviously, deliberative democracy is about the resolution of conflict without resort to violence. That's what it's about. And not everybody is always happy with where, you know, where the sum of the parts land. I think this new government has had a very steady 6 months, I've got to say, in terms of the transition and the establishment of the new government. I think they've been lucky in some respects, and I also think that there's been a lot of work across the cabinet to create the luck of the last 6 months and to create the landing points of the last 6 months. The question is whether or not we can maintain the broadly collaborative tenor and tone across the whole parliamentary cycle, or whether as the election gets closer, we sort of disintegrate into, you know, everybody seeking product differentiation, partisan advantage, etc.
Obviously, the headline of this is Lone Wolf, and you go into great detail about why his origin story has shaped the way he's operated in politics throughout his career. But he now finds himself at this point where he leads a government, he has to rely on the people around him to win the election and obviously then to run the country. I think what was maybe surprising for me was the extent to which you observe him as a rather mercurial character. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think he is a very mercurial character and a complex one. And I think why I wanted to, I said a minute ago, it's not only important to sort of explain how he operates, it's very important, I think, with this Prime Minister to delve into why he operates in the way that he does. Because it's not only the origin story, which a lot of Australians are very familiar with, obviously, through the campaign and subsequently, it's I wanted to meet the Prime Minister on a psychological plane, and I was grateful that he met me at the place I wanted him to meet me at. I wanted really, because I've been looking at this guy for 25 years, I wanted to try and unpick why his instincts are formed in the way they have and what implications that might have for him as Prime Minister and others. But what I have observed over this term of opposition is him learning new habits in terms of how he makes decisions, how he relies on people around him, because Anthony Albanese's rise through the Labor Party has been a rise of an insurgent. Nothing has been handed to him. He was the minority guy from the minority faction who had to blast his way in his whole career. And that, you know, that sort of builds up a whole range of professional habits. So watching him sort of unpick those in real time, learning to rely on colleagues, learning to bring people in because that has not been his style. He's also, yes, he's a sort of how do I describe him? He's sort of he has emotions. They are to the fore. I think in his past he's been quite volcanic. I think he's trying to wind that back.
Yeah, surprised at your descriptions of him as still having a bit of a temper.
Yeah, he does have a temper. He does, and it's part of having the emotions at the forefront. I don't think he's afraid of emotions, I guess is what I'm saying. I think for him, they've sort of been part of his EQ because he hasn't, a lot of politicians, you know, sort of cauterise that. They shut that down because the life is obviously brutal and punishing. And a lot of politicians shut down that element of their personalities. For Anthony Albanese, I think his emotional life has been core to his politics and core to that sense of anticipation and strategy that he has, which is, all the colleagues say, regardless of their personal relationships with him, all the colleagues point to his sixth sense. And I think his sixth sense is very much predicated in his personality and in the way he sort of, you know, cycles through issues. So anyway, I find him a very interesting character.
Katie Gallagher tells you he's a crafty devil.
Such a great quote, isn't it? He is a crafty devil. Yeah, he is a crafty devil.
We are going to have to wind this up. There's a day, you actually started all of this on a day that I bumped into you on the campaign trail on the Central Coast, when there was that kind of febrile environment on his campaign bus. There was a great deal of kind of animosity between the press pack and him. He sat in a kitchen. It was pretty awkward. You then jumped in the car with him for the trip back to Sydney and had quite a long chat to him. But I think everyone that was sort of observing him at that moment thought he probably didn't have it in him to win the election.
Oh, no, thank you for remembering that conversation, because I remember that very acutely, and I actually thought of you as I was writing that opening scene and the conversation we had on the lawn that day. The whole question about Albanese was over the last 3 years and in the campaign, could he rise and could he prevail? that they were the questions that were unanswered, obviously, until the victory. Everybody knew he was a crafty devil. Everyone knew he was a good strategist. Everybody knew that he's sort of, you know, is a person who aims to win by whatever means, scrappy, messy, elegant, whatever it is, right? He aims to win via whatever means. But, you know, the story of the campaign was, could he sort of push back against the institutional forces hostile to Labor governments in this country? We need to just call that for what it is. But also, could he find that extra quality in himself to model the type of leadership that would be at the basis of his prime ministership? And I think he got there in the end. But as you and I remember from that day, it was a hell of a scrappy ride, wasn't it?
Murph, lovely to catch up with you again.
You too. You too.
That's the political editor at Guardian Australia. And of course, the quarterly essay is out today.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.